Hello and welcome to Psychic Teachers. I'm your host, Deb Bowen.
And I'm Samantha Fay.
We're so excited to have you with us today as we talk about spring cleaning. Now, we're not going to talk about spring cleaning like just spring cleaning. We're going to talk about magical spring cleaning.
So get out your tea tree oil and your broom, because after listening, you're going to want to clean and clear your home. Now, as we all know, our home is a symbolic representation of who we are. It holds the entire energy of the people who live there. Your home says a lot about who you are and what you value most. But as a repository of all your collective energy, it also needs to be cleaned with the home's energy in mind. So before we enter the house, let's start by discussing some aspects outside of the house. So visualize that you're standing on the curb in front of your home or apartment building and look at the outer portion of your home. What vibe or message is it giving to the world? Are your blinds and drapes shut tight against the light? Are your bushes covering the windows? Are there dead vines clinging to your mailbox? Are there still Christmas tree lights in your trees? Is it in need of a fresh coat of paint? Or do you have fresh flowers placed by the front door and a cheery welcome mat? A great way to spruce up your home is to paint your front door. Did you know that a green door invites in happiness, health, and prosperity, while a blue door welcomes in spirituality, love, and truth? Brown doors bring protection, grounding, and a cozy sense of earthiness and security. Red doors attract good luck. Scott Cunningham, in his book, The Magical Household, says that a home's windows are the eyes of the house, while the door is its mouth. Doors are seen as gateways or portals to other dimensions and places. He recommends hanging a gourd on each side of the front door for protection, or you can hang a wreath with thorny flowers to prevent negativity from intruding. Now, Deb, your old house used to have a purple door. Was that for a specific reason?
It sure was. That purple door signified, for one thing, connection to spirituality, because to me, that's a higher color on the chakra scale than blue. And it was also, if anybody was in trouble, because that's a symbol of a safe place for people with domestic violence situations, anybody was welcome in my home.
Oh, I didn't know that was a symbol for that.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. That's lovely. Okay. He also says you can draw a circle on your door with a piece of chalk to prevent ghosts from entering. That's one I had not heard before. Had you heard that?
No, I have not done that. That's new to me.
Yeah. I can't imagine being like a ghost being like, I'm getting in that home and I'm going to do a haunting. Oh, nope. There's chalk. I can't go. Can't do it. You can hang bells on the inside doorknob of your front door to scare away evil.
I do have bells on my doors.
Do you? I have holy stones. I'll talk about that in a minute.
I have holy stones on a door too. And I also have this beautiful Hindu symbol of birds hanging on a doorknob.
Ooh, that sounds lovely. You can also place two needles crisscrossed under your doormat for protection. You can plant ferns, lilies, marigolds, or juniper by the front door to shield your family from harm. Or you can fill a bag with salt, sage, and other protective herbs you have on hand and bury it in the dirt under your front porch, and that will serve to protect you and bring abundance into the home. Do you want to talk about the four directions and how it relates to what direction the house faces?
Yeah, let me do that. So folks, as Samantha and I were planning this episode, she and I did our research separately, and we approached this topic from two different directions. So what you're going to experience in this episode is a combination of Samantha's approach and my approach to how you can do magical house cleaning and keeping. And I approached this notion from working with the four directions, east, south, west, and north, and their corresponding elements of air, fire, water, and earth. One way to do this is to begin your magical house cleaning in the eastern quadrant of your house, which may or may not work depending on how your house faces. These days, Samantha, most folks have a compass on their cell phone. So get out your compass and take a look at which direction your house faces. And if it's possible for you to begin in the east, that's ideal, because what you want to do is to work in a clockwise direction as much as you possibly can, beginning in the east if possible, and then to the south, then to the west, and then to the north as you go through this process. Now, if it's not possible for you to do that, given the situation of how your house faces, at least work clockwise around your house. But let's just, for the sake of discussion here, assume that you can start in the east. What you want to do before you lift a broom or begin in any way is to gather your supplies, because that will save you time. It will certainly save you energy, and it will set your intentions for connecting to the energy of your home and what you want to do in terms of clearing and cleaning and protecting and rebuilding an energy pattern that is pleasant and loving. You'll also need candles, incense, smudging supplies, whatever that is for you, and a bell or a drum, or you can just clap your hands, but we'll get to that. So before you start, after you gather all of that stuff, take just a few minutes and just be. Just be in your space and just experience what you feel and meditate about your intention. Who's there to help you? Might you call on, I don't know, your grandmother, for example, from across the veil, and say, you know, I remember helping my grandmother dust furniture when I was a little girl with lemon oil. Well, invite your grandmother to be there in spirit with you, for example. Be aware of what you need physically and energetically to accomplish the task. For example, how much time do you really need? It always takes me longer than I think it's gonna. Can I do it all at once? Do I need to do it all at once? Do I do it in little pieces? You know, so think about what your process is going to be for how you're going to go about doing this. Once you've done that, begin wherever you need to begin. But again, let's assume that we're going to begin in the east. And one of the reasons that, in my practices at least, that we begin things in the east is because that's where our day begins. That's where the sun rises from. That's a new beginning, a new start. And east is the direction of illumination and insight that comes to us on the breath. So we have air. So beginning in this quadrant of your house, do what I call air chores. And air chores are about shifting energy, clearing out stagnation. So you might want to smudge with whatever kind of ethically sourced and perhaps local herb that you may want to use. Burn some incense. Sandalwood is usually considered a clearing incense. Ring bells or beat drums or clap your hands to shift the energy. And you can just try that, for example. Just try the idea of ringing a bell and be aware of how the energy around you in a room vibrates and changes. It's a really wonderful thing to say to your home, wake up everybody, we're getting ready to do some energy shift in here. Then go back to the east side of the house. And now you're going to start with dusting and sweeping throughout the house. Okay, Samantha, so I've gone through the east chores here. Let's stop a minute and let you talk a few minutes. How about that?
Okay, so if we're talking about air chores, let's talk about windows, which, as I said before, are called the eyes of your home. You can wash them with a bit of vinegar to invite the wind to bless your home. You can hang faceted crystals from the window to protect your home and fill it with positive energy. Stained glass windows are considered particularly lucky because they're said to repel negative and evil energy. If your luck has turned sour, you can scatter the windowsills with salt and vacuum it up the next day. You can also sprinkle dried lavender and salt on your rugs and let it sit for a bit and then vacuum that up as well. Now, if we move into the kitchen, did you know it's said that dirty dishes in the sink can prevent a good night's sleep and even contribute to nightmares? Now, I wonder if someone's mom made that up, but supposedly that's an old tradition. You can also hang a rope of garlic to help season your food, but also to prevent negativity. Now, while we're in the kitchen, Deb, do you want to talk about some fire elements for clearing your home?
Absolutely. Let me do that. Fire element gives you the opportunity to burn away negativity, as Samantha's talking about here. Beeswax candles work very nicely for that. You can add a drop or two of essential oils to your candle. Lemon, orange, peppermint, cinnamon might be my suggestions for doing so. And allow the candles to burn for a while. And this tells your home that you are creating sacred space. So rather than focusing here in the South so much on action in terms of cleaning action, think in terms of action for the passion and the caring and the sacred space of your home.
Now, if you start the air chores in the east, would you start with lighting the candles or burning the incense in the south?
Yes, and you'll end up in the east, and then you'll be ready to go back around now and move to the west.
Okay, got it. All right, so back in the kitchen, since copper is connected to Venus, the planet of love and beauty, cooking with copper is said to bring loving energy to your meals. Because it's considered bad luck to run out of salt, you're supposed to keep an extra container of salt in your pantry so that you'll never use, so you'll never run out and you'll never run out of bad luck. Tess Whitehurst, in her book, Magical Housekeeping, she recommends several floor washes for your kitchen and your whole home. One you can try to invite harmony into your house includes using tangerine and grapefruit oil. She says to add 4 drops of each plus 4 drops of Box Flower Rescue Remedy and a teaspoon of salt to water, and then wash your floor with this mixture while visualizing golden light filling and infusing your home. Now, there's a lot of different floor washes I've heard about, Deb. Like, I've heard you can add basil to your floor wash to invite abundance in. I've heard about adding peppermint oil for similar reasons. Do you do that type of stuff?
I do, but I tend to use more of the citrus flavors for that, more lemon or orange oil for my floors, as I do for my furniture polishing as well.
It has such a nice smell too. Okay, let's move into the bedroom. Something that's a great idea to do to spiritually clean your bedroom is take down your drapes or curtains and wash them. And if they're more than 10 years old, you might want to consider replacing them. Wash your sheets in hot water and add some sea salt for purification. Ideally, the bed should be placed so that you can see the door, and the headboard should be in the north position. Now, if this is impossible, you can place a small mirror on the headboard. In feng shui, it's considered bad luck to face a mirror upon waking up in the morning. So that can be tricky because most people will have a bed and then across from the bed is a bureau with a mirror over it. But according to feng shui, that's no good. You can also sprinkle salt on your mattress, leave it there for an hour or so, and then vacuum it up. This is said to remove unwanted energies from any bedroom fights or nightmares or sleep disturbances you may be having. Deb and I have talked about this, and both of our headboards are not on the south wall, and that's the ideal position. And now, Deb, you said you can't move yours, right?
I can't. There's no way to do that in my bedroom.
Okay, I can. I'm just too lazy to do. I'd have to move everything around. I'm not ready for that. So there are things you can do, however, in addition to placing a little mirror, like a little craft mirror you can get at Michael's or any craft store. You can also, what I've done is I created a pyramid grid under my bed. So I just got 5 small pyramid shaped stones and I have them at the 4 corners and then 1 in the center. So that's something you can do if you feel that your bed is not in the right position. But all of this stuff, I feel, don't get too bogged down in it. Like, do what works for you. Deb was saying to me when we were going over our notes that the house ideally should face east. And I was like, oh, my house does face east. Woo, I got one. But then we found out our beds were in the wrong place. And so if you get too caught up in all that, you're going to go crazy, don't you think?
Yeah, you do. And sometimes, you know, it just is what it is. And you have to work around it. I mean, you know, and that's okay. It is what it is.
Because otherwise you'll end up with the Winchester house.
Oh, good golly, that would be terrible. So Samantha, let's talk about water chores and the direction of west.
Okay.
Here is the opportunity for introspection and reflection. And that's represented by the element of water. This really reinforces what you were saying earlier about washing floors and windows and cleaning your bathrooms and your kitchens and really washing everything. But in addition to that, be aware of your intent, not only for the cleanliness, of course, but also for washing away that which is not for your highest good or that which does not bring you peace or love or joy, and that you're washing in and making space for positive abundance to flow into your space. You're doing the intention here of releasing and washing away and making clean and clear for that which you do want to come into your life to have a space to be. And that's really, I think, an important piece of this is to be aware of your intent. Because I know there have certainly been Saturday mornings is often my house cleaning time. And there've certainly been times where I have gone like a house afire because all I wanted to do was get that bathroom scrubbed and the laundry done and off I go. And then there've been other times where I have played Gregorian chants, for example, and approached my cleaning and clearing from a much more sedate and connected spiritually perspective. And the difference in the energy when I finished was dramatic.
Yeah, I agree. Normally I present cleaning my house like a chore or in a panic. Like last weekend, I had to go out of town. So someone had to stay in my home to watch the dogs. Don't you always clean like crazy when someone's going to be staying in your house?
Oh my golly, do I ever.
Oh, and you don't even notice things in your house really until you're cleaning in that light. Do you know what I mean? Like I was sitting there going, oh my gosh, first of all, I have way too many rocks everywhere. What is this person going to think? And then I go into my daughter's bedroom and I'm cleaning in there and I realize she has pom-poms on her drapes. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you're 15 and you still have your little kid drapes. So I had to go and buy new drapes. And then the new drapes I bought were longer and the rod didn't fit. So then I'm painting around the little drywall spots where I had to put the new, oh, for God's sakes, it gets ridiculous. So yeah, I do need to do this, what you're suggesting, and play my Gregorian chants and be like St. Teresa, the little flower, and just enjoy scrubbing floors. But I do a lot of the spiritual clearing stuff. I actually do. Like, for example, if we stay back in the bedroom, one thing I've really worked hard on is clearing out any clutter, especially under the bed, because in feng shui, that is not good. That stagnates energy. It can disrupt your sleep. And so something you can do is get those rollout bins like at Bed Bath & Beyond or any container store, and you can place stored items in there. You want to make sure that any items in your bedroom reflect rest and serenity. According to ancient traditions, a magnet placed under the mattress is said to help ease aches and pains. And even older superstition recommends sleeping with a wine or champagne cork under the mattress to alleviate back pain. I don't think that one's going to work. What do you think?
I don't know, but I'm willing to try it.
Well, you report back to us.
I have an old cork somewhere around here. I will try it and see what happens.
You could also tie vervain or mistletoe to the headboard to stave off nightmares. Place dried lavender, chamomile, and mugwort in a bag and tuck under your pillow to help you remember your dreams. Now, that's one I do, and it actually does help me remember my dreams.
Yeah, I do that too. I have an amethyst next to the bed. And okay, I have a question then. I don't have any vervain plant, you know, dried vervain, but I do have vervain essential oil.
Yes, you could diffuse that. Although, you know what I did during the pandemic-y time? I went to Etsy and I found so many wonderful stores on there that sell really difficult, at least in our area, to find plants. And I started growing a lot of stuff like mugwort and vervain. And my vervain has kind of taken over. So it's easy to grow in our area.
Oh, can I have a sprig?
Yes, you can. I have to have them all labeled because I don't know what these plants are. I've never grown them before. And so I was clearing out some of the weeds the other day and I was like, what the heck is this giant green thing? And I looked at the little stick and it said vervain. And I was like, oh yeah, I need to do something with you.
Yeah.
So yes, I will do that.
Thank you.
Okay. Now let's move into the living room. Here, you definitely want to remove all clutter because the living room is, like the kitchen, the heart of the home. So you can recycle magazines or donate them to your local library. And I just want to say, if you do have a ton of magazines, consider bringing them to the nursing home. The people in my dad's nursing home, they just love to flip through magazines. Be sure to dust under chairs and couches. Place small pyramid-shaped stones under the couch to lift the vibrations of the room. Or consider placing a large cluster quartz on an end table or a coffee table to ensure group harmony. Make sure the room is well lit. Plants such as peace lilies and ferns invite in happy energy and absorb anxious vibrations. You can also diffuse oils like sandalwood or lavender to smooth out hectic energy. And as Deb was saying before, play calming music throughout the day.
Absolutely. And you know, you've really just in many ways described the chores of being connected to the north quadrant of your house, to the earth quadrant of your house, when we're talking about plants and groundedness. And it's a time to clean out clutter. Let it go, as you were saying. I have a closet that desperately needs me to go in and do that. And it feels so big. And if I would just take it in little sections, I could deal with it. So you might want to try that. Clean and charge your stones, and certainly then begin to work outside, as Samantha has suggested, working with your plants in your garden and perhaps reinforcing a grid around your yard.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in just a second. Something else you can do as you're cleaning, if you want to just infuse your home with loving vibrations, you can place a rose quartz, an amethyst, and a clear quartz in a spray bottle. Fill with moon water, blessed water, or spring water, and spritz your home and furniture.
Oh, that's a lovely idea.
Okay, before we talk about more tips and techniques for getting rid of any negativity in your home and moving on to the outside of your home, let's take a quick break to discuss our wonderful sponsor this month, Audible. I've been a member for almost 8 years now, and there is just so much I love about Audible, from their huge selection of books and podcasts to their meditations and wellness programs. They also offer the Plus program for members, which gives you access to even more books, podcasts, and meditations that are all free. So in addition to your monthly credit, you can also download all their Plus catalog offerings for free. This week, since we're talking about windows and doors and portals in your home, we thought we would mention a book that Deb and I have just devoured. It's called The 10,000 Doors of January. Do you want to tell people about this book, Deb?
I tell you what, Samantha, that book, I devoured it. And when I was done with it, I made a cup of tea. I sat back down in my chair and started again. It took me a while to understand what all those doors were about. But once I got it, and once I accepted that I was going through those doors with January, I was so excited to go.
And let's just ground people in what the story is about. Because it starts off with a little girl, January, and she finds a door in the middle of nowhere. And a little boy comes through that door and they kind of play and they're friends and they hang out. And then he goes through that door and the next day the door is gone. And so the whole book is about how she is searching for these doors that are portals to other worlds.
Well, yeah.
Well, yes. I just think people need to understand that.
I guess I got so caught up in the symbolism of those doors that the flow of the story didn't much matter to me as I was going through it. But it's a wonderful book. And it's more than fantasy, although it's a great fantasy. It's far more than that. It really speaks so much to our time and our view of the world around us and our view of what could be. It's such an inspiring and uplifting story. I just love it.
It really is. And you can listen to The 10,000 Doors of January for free by going to audible.com/psychicteachers, or you can text the word psychic teachers to 500-500. That's right. It's free for 1 month when you go to audible.com/psychicteachers or text psychicteachers to 500-500. And also just a reminder to check out our websites and sign up for our monthly newsletters. You can find me at SamanthaFay.com and you can check out Deb's offerings at DebBowen.com. And if you're enjoying this episode, please take a minute to leave a review and subscribe or follow us so you never miss an episode. Let's move to outside of our home and talk about some things we can do in the yard. So one thing you can do in your backyard, you can place a stone like jasper or rose quartz or agate to protect the dwelling. You can also bury black or brown stones in the four corners of your property to create a protective grid around your home. Some people like to bury a clove of garlic in the four corners for the same reason. You can also line the outer lip of your front door with hematite, especially magnetized hematite, so that pulls any negativity from strangers or anyone really entering your home.
This would be a great time to re-grid your property if you feel like it needs shoring up. You can certainly create a line of salt around the border of your property. That works really nicely. The hematite is a great idea. Doing alternate hematite and rose quartz is also a nice idea every, maybe 6 or 8 feet around the edge of your property. This is also a really good time to go outside and speak to the plant kingdom with whom you live. So talk to your trees, touch them, say thank you to the plants that are in your yard. Welcome back those that are just beginning to come up as bulbs this time of year, for example. It's a time to reconnect to the energy of the earth around you and to say thank you and to offer your commitment to connect with them throughout the year as you cycle through the next seasons. You can also make a wreath, for example, of fresh flowers or a personal potpourri. There's so much that you can do to connect with the plant kingdom this time of year. And that's another way of shifting that energy in and around your house.
And it really is about your intention. Like, I love to collect holy stones that I find on the beach. And those are just any stones that have a natural hole that's been drilled through them from years and years and years in the water. And I just took a piece of rope or twine and I put 9 stones on that and I hang that on my front door. But you can also use holy stones for protection in your yard as well. I think it's really important to just think about the energy of your home, because every home holds your energy, but it also holds the energy, if you haven't done a full clearing, of people who have lived there before. The land that your home sits on also holds energy. And you have to think about all of that and all of our family members that we live with and neighbors and all of that. So that needs to be taken into consideration, because homes, I'm not saying that homes are haunted at all. I'm saying that homes have an energy. And you know, you might remember this story, Deb, but when my mom and I lived in Connecticut, I mean, my dad was there too, but he had an apartment in New York City, so he only came home on weekends. And when they were going to retire and they were trying to sell that house, it was not selling. And we couldn't understand, because it was a pretty good housing market and it was, you know, a lovely home in a nice wooded area. And my mom went to a psychic and asked her, like, why is this house not selling? And the psychic said, your home has a very powerful energy. And it really likes the female energy. It loves the energy of you and your daughter there. And so you need to go and walk into every room of your home and ask it to release you and thank it for sheltering you and protecting you and providing for you all these years, but ask it to let you go and to be open to a new family. And my mom was like, okay. So she came home and she was like, I'm not going to do that. That's stupid. And I'm like, no, let's do it. Let's try it. And so we did. We walked around and asked the home to release us and thanked it for providing for us. And I'm not kidding. I was in school, but a couple of weeks later, she called me and she said, you're not going to believe it, but a man who works in the city and only comes home on the weekends and has a wife and a teenage daughter bought the house.
How about that?
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, it is.
So I think that all homes have kind of their energy. And aren't there some cultures that believe houses have spirits, you know, like actual house spirits? I don't mean, again, not talking about haunting.
Yeah, there are cultures that believe that. But you know, Samantha, as we're wrapping up here with this, one thing that I want to point out to folks is that it's important that you complete the circle so that as you begin your work in the East, and you do the chores that are connected with air, fire, water, and earth in each section of your house, and you offer up that connection and that reinforcement of the sacredness and the connection of the space in which you live and with other people with whom you share it. When you do that, you really do create a flow, a way of being, and a way of honoring that space as you're talking about and saying thank you to it. So be sure that you really do the whole process, however long it takes you. It may not be something that you can all do in one day, but however long it takes you to do that process, do it in its entirety. And then, and you probably were aware I was going to suggest this, journal what that was like. Write it down so that you know what felt good to you, what worked.
I'm not doing that. Huh? I'm not going to clean my house and then write about it. I'm sorry. I'm just not. It's hard enough to get me to clean my house on a regular basis. I don't want to write about it. What do you mean?
I mean, write about it.
Do you seriously do that? Do you write about, dear diary, today I cleaned my kitchen.
I actually write it down in my book that I put in magical stuff. Yes, I do. When I do this kind of cleaning and call on guides and helpers and clean the rocks and do all that heavy duty stuff, you bet I make a note of it, you know, because then I will know when energy has shifted and how it has shifted and what may have precipitated that. So it gives me something to look back on and say, oh gosh, you know, Deb, you something really nice happened when you did that in March. Don't you think you might want to try doing it again in July?
Oh, I see your point. That is a good idea. I just have to be honest, I can't see myself doing it. Now, I clean my house every day because I don't know, it's just what I do. I think it's the empath in me. If my house is dirty or cluttered, I can't think straight, but I don't like it. It's not like I'm like, oh, I get to go wash the sink now and change the laundry. I'm going to go write about it too. It's something.
This is not the kind of house cleaning we're talking about doing every day, Samantha.
That's true. That's very, very true. But I don't even journal about it when I'm smudging my house to clear it. Although I do have to tell you, so since I've been growing and drying my own herbs, I collected all my little herbs that are good for protection and clearing, and I dried them. I hung them upside down in my garage, and then my kids and I sat in the driveway and we bound them all up with twine into bundles, and I was feeling very pleased with myself, and I brought it inside so we could do a proper smudging. My smoke alarms went off. Do you ever like burn a smudge stick that you get in the store and you have to constantly relight it?
I don't use those, but yes, I know what you mean.
Well, when you do your own, it's way different.
Yeah, you have to be really careful about what you're doing because you can just, I mean, the whole thing will blow up on you.
Yeah, I had a huge brass bowl that I just, you know, put the little bundle in and eventually it subsided. But yeah, one of my smoke alarms went off and I was like, wow, why is that? Why is it the ones you buy in the store don't smoke as much?
Because of the way they're constructed.
Oh.
Have you ever gone to YouTube and looked on how to create a smudge stick?
No, I just dried them and wrapped them myself and prayed over them and hoped for the best.
Well, if you go look at videos on how to create a smudge stick, there's some ways that all of that gets intertwined and twine wraps around and it impedes those are the ones that go out, you know.
Okay. Well, apparently I need to do that, but I'll tell you, my house is spiritually clear and cleansed right now.
I bet it is. And that's great.
Well, we hope you guys have enjoyed this and it's given you some motivation and inspiration to start your spring cleaning. I can't believe we're finally into spring. It's so exciting.
Almost. We're getting there.
We're getting there. It's close and it's so hopeful. And we hope you guys are going into the week feeling hopeful and renewed and reinvigorated as well. Thank you so much for listening. Please remember to be the light for yourself and others.
Take care, everyone.
You are listening to Psychic Teachers, a podcast for seekers, light workers, mystics, and magical thinkers. If you enjoy the show, please tell a friend and take a moment to leave us a review on iTunes. You can also find us on iHeart, Spotify, Podcast Addict, Google Podcast, Podbean, and more. Thanks for listening.